Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Our guy here said, quote, "They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun." It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth. So I understand where it's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Tom Brady absolutely bodying Baker Mayfield during a Bucs game because they put on the screen that, you know, Baker was supposed to, hey, loosen everybody up around here a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's doing great. Good for Baker. Baker has since said, hey, that's out of context. Like, he did it his way, I do it my way, that's fine. But listen to Brady get mad right there.
Yeah.
There's a way to approach it. And here's Brady. Listen.
This, first interesting thing you said.
It really is super interesting. And it's also like, hey, good morning. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Back, just one quick thought on this. Anytime we talk about anybody in sports that is too intense or too whatever, we had a lot of these conversations about Diggs. There's a million athletes that are like this. Too intense. Brady and Jordan taught generations to be like that. And the retrospectives of them continue to teach them to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
To be, listen to Brady there. If we're not winning Super Bowls, that's stressful. This isn't daycare.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to have fun, I'll go to Disneyland. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure thing, goat. You got it. Not picking on him, just pointing out the context of these athletes that operate that way. Two of the greatest of all time operated that way. Kobe was that. What's there to be happy about?
Yep.
Up 2-0 in a series. Iconic. Job's not finished.
It's
so
just, it does. Do you have to win to get the credit for that, though?
Yes. Definitely.
Because, like,
you have to be one of the greatest, then you can do whatever you want.
But I'm sure we'll get into stuff like this week. But really, just things work out a different way. The Bills win the 13 seconds game. They win the Super Bowl that year. Diggs is Buffalo's Kobe.
Right. Right.
He's Buffalo Kobe.
Yep.
That's because that's how he was. But when you win that way, you're a legend of all times. When you don't win and you're that way, then eventually it ends, and then you get
right. When you win that way as a receiver, another guy who was like this is Steve Smith, right? Who's Steve Smith? He's still mad.
He was mad. He just lives mad, doesn't he?
Right. And some guys are wired that way.
A Bills fan threw a snowball against him in Miami, and he wanted to climb into the crowd. It was so funny.
Listen.
Not really, but yes, it was.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. You can give us a call, 803-0550. I do not think we have to make every single win and loss, and I say win and loss, they win a game. It looks like they don't need Diggs. They lost the game. Whoa, they really missed Diggs. Like, not everything is a referendum on Stephon Diggs. This week, of course, will be because they play Diggs. But what they did miss yesterday is something that you and I and a lot of people have wondered about them. Do they have enough on the boundary? Do they have enough on the outside to win? And six targets for Mac Hollins. And it would have been a seventh if the trick play got a throw off. You're throwing to Mac Hollins in double coverage, which I guess that's a little bit better than throwing to Pat DeMarco in double coverage. But like a jump ball for Mac Hollins, maybe he would have pulled that down and the whole game would have been different. But Hollins getting six targets, MVS dressing and playing 25 snaps and being a zero.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Samuel is a gadget player right now. And Keon Coleman is their best boundary guy, and there are a lot of people who thought he actually would be best used not on the outside, but he made a couple of nice plays. Steve Smith, part of the Ravens marching band, he plays percussion and bass drum. That's from Sal, probably because he likes to hit things, right? Like, he's mad. I'll play the drums. Thank you, Sal. So whatever. Like, looking at that game last night, that's a game that the game script went. And sometimes we do this, guys. Everybody, right? We confirm our priors. Yeah. That's a game where it looked to me like the way that the Jets used to play the Bills, which is, I don't have to worry about anybody you've got.
Mm-hmm.
I can cover everybody you've got. There's no one out here I'm afraid of. And they're big plays. They had a nice play to Kincaid. But really, Allen created with Shakir. And other than that, Shakir went 3 for 10 yards.
Yeah.
And Mac Hollins went 6 targets for 7 yards.
I guess I do wonder a little bit about his ankle. Yeah, Sal brought that up. Shakir, his ankle. Like, it looked like it got bent back on that first drive when he made a cut.
Taped it up an awful lot.
And it was taped up a lot. And that's his thing, isn't it? Like, his cut ability and that horizontal quickness. So, I mean, I'm not predicting that the whole game would have been different had Shakir not twisted his ankle on the first drive. But isn't he supposed to be that guy right now? Isn't he the most likely candidate to be that guy where, all right, Brady's having... The defensive coordinator has got Joe Brady's number in this game. And Allen's your quarterback. And, all right, scheme is not winning me the game. Spreading the ball around is not winning me the game. I need somebody to step up. I need somebody to be the main focal point here and just to win their matchups all the time and be good at it. Because there were games where Diggs would do that. And the Bills right now have a roster where I would wonder who that guy would be. But I think my money, if anyone is capable, would be Shakir right now.
Or Kincaid. But, yeah, but maybe Shakir. And if you're the opposing team, don't you want to funnel balls to the outside? Let's make sure we close the middle of the field and have them throw balls. I might even say include the Coleman plays here. I'll take my chances. If your best play is a back shoulder throw to Keon Coleman, like, I'm doing all right against that. He caught 2 out of 3 down the field, so that's good. That's a good sign from him, but there's going to need to be more there. Anyway, 803-0550. What's the takeaway from last night? You can give us a call. It was heated earlier. The trick play, it's almost like we haven't talked about it that much because it's not controversial.
There's really no... I don't know what there is to debate.
What would the other side say? You know, if you want to argue about how a team builds, they should do this, they should do that. What's the fourth down? They should go for it. They should punt. The trick play, what's everyone think? Like, oh, bad.
See, because I do like trick plays. I want them to incorporate them a little bit. We've pointed out that they haven't really run one. Was that the first trick play they've run since Brian Daboll, by the way?
I think so. And one of the points...
Counting like a DeMar Hamlin fake punt.
I think you run trick plays. At least Brian Daboll used to run trick plays when the offense was feeling itself. Like, it's vibing. We can do no wrong. Watch this. Opening drive of a playoff game. Throw to touchdown to
Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And so the trick play they ran was so colossally bad. I tweeted about McDermott being upset about it, and Sal said that he and Joe Brady, we'll have a conversation about that. Joe would like that callback. I'd like that callback. McDermott said that once before. I think Brian Daboll called a pitch out
on a
4th-and-1.
Pittsburgh.
A pitch to Breida, and he fumbled.
It was like a throwback. Like Allen
a fake sneak took throwback?
It. He fake sneaked. I think it was actually, if I remember right, it was a carbon copy of a play they ran with Bledsoe like 20 years before.
McGahee? Okay.
Yeah, Bledsoe to McGahee.
I remember McDermott being so clearly mad about that play because it blew up.
Yeah.
And I bet.
You think they're done with trick plays for the season?
Yeah.
Over under half a trick play rest of the way. Under?
You're going to have to clear it with McDermott. And I don't have a problem with that. This play, again, like what's the trick?
That's the thing.
What's the joke?
That's my problem with it.
We're going to give the ball to the quarterback, and the quarterback's going to throw it?
It's like not even really
a trick play. What's the joke?
Right.
We're going to throw it up top to Mac Hollins.
The idea of a trick play is the whole defense buys into something else, right? Like when they play Dallas, and it is John Brown on an end-around who throws the ball then to Devin Singletary in the end zone. What's the trick? Oh, they're running an end-around to John Brown. The whole defense collapses in because Brown's about to run around the edge. Oh, wait, he's throwing? Yeah. This is, like, you're buying into they're running an end-around with John Brown. This play is you're buying into what? Curtis Samuel in the Wildcat that you haven't run yet this year?
I want you to watch it one more time because, again, if you're trying to find what on earth could it have been, can I give you one theory?
Sure. Go ahead.
Could it be an end around to Allen that he's not supposed to throw? Because Hollins is going to that left sideline.
So imagine if
Allen is running an end around.
Yeah.
It's him and maybe Keon Coleman going to the right. The entire defense goes left. They bring Allen. All right.
Oh, no, wait a minute. They both stop the route. If Allen, like you say, like if he picks it up from Samuel and he runs in the direction that he keeps running in that direction where he picks the ball up.
Yeah, like an end around.
There's nobody on that side of the field.
That's what I mean.
There's nobody to throw to, at least on that side of the field.
Is it at all possible that it was supposed to be an end around to Josh Allen?
And that he wasn't supposed to throw the football?
I don't know. I mean, he would be one to, uh-oh, things are crazy, let me throw it.
There's only one of two options. That play is not designed for him to keep running to the right and then throw it. Because, again,
there's nobody there. Okay.
So it's one of two things. He's either, like you're saying, running an end around where he's meant to run it, or the play is designed for him to stop there on the left.
With no room. And do what? And throw it into double coverage to Mac Hollins. I mean, I guess they would think that. What do they think?
I think you might be right. Because I have a hard time believing this play is designed for Allen to throw the ball from basically where he's lined up, by the way. That can't be the design, right?
It is crazy to think about, but it might make the most sense if it's an actual end around to Josh Allen.
It's a crazy.
But it got blown up.
It's a crazy play.
Tim in Dallas. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Oh, man. I don't even know where to start, but that was a debacle. I'll say this. Derrick Henry, you guys alluded to his Hall of Fame, and I'm going to say his average is like 98-some yards against the Buffalo Bills since he's been from Tennessee, now with the Ravens, and that's remarkable. And we're going to be in a lot of those highlight reels in his induction. But I will say this.
Thanks. It's so right, Tim. Like, the Bills are going to be on that highlight reel. Josh Norman getting thrown to the ground,
yeah.
A 76-yarder, an 87-yarder. Man, you're right about that one.
And we were talking about the guys that are out. You know, you go back into that 2021 season, the year the Bills were good against the run, and Henry comes in there and blasted us for 140-some yards rushing. And, you know, some of the guys that was there, you know, our linebacker, he was there. The guy who went to Chicago was there. So we had some playmakers in there. The people that you got to look at was the coaching. So coaching adjustments on defense had to be had last night. I take my secondary against the Baltimore receivers all day long. So why didn't we just put 9 in the box? We knew what they wanted to do. If you ask me, the Ravens are built like the Tennessee Titans team that went to the playoffs. So that's what they're going to ride this whole season. I'm not afraid of the Ravens. So it should have been on the coaches last night. You got a young team, and then the guys up front are the leaders. They didn't step up. Everybody wants to get a sack. There was no gap integrity. Nobody tried to hold that. Everybody was over pursuing up front. So it was a perfect storm. And they were playing chess on Josh Allen. The biggest problem with Allen, if you go back and look at early in his career, he had problems with guys just hovering over the line so he wouldn't know who to block and protect or whatever. So they did a lot of that last night. And but other than that, and then I got one more thing. I'm sorry, I'm long-winded.
That's all right, Tim. Go ahead.
Go for it.
You know, McDermott wanted everybody to believe in the process and all this. And being, you know, so you go out and you draft for the past few seasons. And there's nothing about Diggs. I feel like we just don't have the guys outside to beat one-on-one. And so that's what we're lacking on offense. If you got this guy, Josh Allen, who's going to be a Hall of Famer someday, and one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you got to get him weapons on the outside, man. I'm always on that wide receiver train just like you. So you got to get him some weapons. And, yep. And it showed last night in that game, but Bus, I don't care what nobody says. We got Cook, we got that, but we just didn't have anybody that could separate to make a play when we needed it.
Thanks, Tim. You know, the wide receiver train, had a lot of fun with that for the last 3 years. And over the weekend, two college receivers went bonkers. Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith,
yep.
And Alabama's Ryan Williams, both freshmen.
Yes.
Neither's available till 2027.
So see in 3 years, Williams.
Here's the thing. I decided to self-govern here. I didn't have any sort of like wide receiver train tweets about it because I thought like the Bills just scored 1,000,000 points on Jacksonville. Everybody's happy. We're not going to be talking about receivers, are we? And sure enough, like 1 week later, it looks like a team. Imagine if they were to lose one to injury. Who? I mean, I guess
that means Curtis Samuel would be on the field now, right?
Right.
He was fifth amongst the receivers in snaps last
night. So maybe it's the ankle and Curtis Samuel will blossom. Samuel's on the team for 3 years at $8 million a year.
That's the thing that's like, there is an investment in him. Investment. It's not crazy, but there is an investment in him in a term. Right, like maybe that's more important than the money in this regard. Like, because $8 million is not a lot for a receiver, but 3 years for a receiver, like you plan on this being something that's a part of your offense for years, and he is just not. I don't understand.
He was supposed to be the straw that stirs the drink. It's Brady knows him. Brady knows how to use him, and he's not really a part of their offense.
He had 97. He had over 1,000 yards total and 97 targets. In his one full season with Joe Brady. Where is that? Where is that?
Maybe he's hurt.
That might just be it. Maybe. Maybe he's just hurt. I almost feel like I have to believe that because there's no way they signed him and then planned on playing him like this.
Yeah.
There's no way. He's more well-rounded of a player than that also.
He's on the team for at least 2 years.
The backfield stuff, by the way, like that actually got them in trouble last night. The one Chris Brown brought up last hour how like there were miscommunications and how many times did a free blitzer come through on Allen. One of those plays that I think was a 3rd and 10 where like you're down by 20. The last thing you want to do is punt. And what happened? Curtis Samuel's in the backfield. Here comes a free blitzer. You have a wide receiver back there who is not going to be the blocker for Allen. And, of course, what happens? The guy runs right by, and he gets after Allen, who has to throw it away. I don't even think I want him in the backfield.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Michael in Rochester is next up on Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Hey, Michael.
Hey, so my thought watching the game last night was, well, first of all, it was awful. But Josh Allen looked composed pretty much the whole time. And so my question is, is sugar high Josh Allen actually dead? And then follow up to that is, are we 100% sure that that's a good thing? Like, when we had sugar high Josh Allen, we were never losing by these big blowouts, but he did cost us a game every once in a while. So, you know, it seems like a catch 22 there. So just interested what your thoughts are, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's the thing. Like,
he did have a couple of plays where he tried to just chuck the ball deep.
Yes, he did. And you've heard me say it before. It's one loss. It's September. This isn't the thing I've said before, but we are always doing this battle for the soul of Josh Allen. Who wins? On schedule, Josh? Even he says it. I got a guy that every once in a while, I got to let him out. I got to run around like crazy. That was their best play yesterday, was him keeping a play alive, rolling out, finding. And Shakir knows what to do. Watch the L22 of that. Shakir's not the deep receiver. He turns and runs, just hits the sideline, runs.
Yeah.
Like, I know this guy. What's he going to do? He's going to try to chuck it as far as he can. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to catch it.
Right.
Like, that's the one guy that knows who he is and how to play with him. Mm-hmm. The other guys will learn that, I guess, along the way. But when you have an offense that is snap, turn, throw, screen, that is eliminating the Josh Allen from your offense.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start talking about those screen plays like they are run plays. And they might be successful in a good part of their offense. Not to say it's all bad, but those might as well be runs.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hmm. He did. They showed a compilation early in the third quarter, I think, of Allen just doing that. Like,
out
in the flat, the screens, and I saw that compilation. Like, I feel like it feels like I'm watching Tua.
Right. It feels like you're watching,
like,
a Lamborghini that's got a governor on the engine that only allows it to go 52.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing they have those elements of their offense. They are still better at these elements than they've ever been. Getting yards after catch, screens, the receivers have been capable of that. I still believe they're better than they have ever been. But, yeah, like, how ingrained into that do you want to be? Because Miami, it's like, feels like sometimes that's all they can do.
Yeah.
And you want it to be a part of the Bills offense, but you don't want it to be all they can do. It can't be everything. It's got to just be a chapter of the book, not the whole thing. And last night it felt like it was the whole thing. It felt like if they were not going to be designing guys open, or guys weren't going to be able to make plays with their feet after they caught it, that they weren't, they didn't have any plays.
Chuck in Buffalo. Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir. How we doing? Man, that was rough last night. But if there's one thing I'd like to see us do more, it would be get Keon Coleman the ball more. And as well as, like you guys said, I don't like Samuel in the backfield. I think we paid him a decent amount. He should be getting more targets as well.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Is there a want for Coleman to get the ball more? He had four targets yesterday. I don't know.
Wouldn't you, I mean, listen, due respect to the guy, he's a leader in this team, they like him, due respect to Matt Collins, wouldn't you trade his six targets for three more for Coleman and three more for Shakir every game?
Absolutely. 100%. Collins is not open on these plays, by the way.
No.
Like, it'd be one thing if you threw it to the open guy. He's throwing to contested Matt Collins.
Listen, maybe we'll
most
get to,
of the times.
We can get to that when we get back. I can save it for later in the week, but everyone seems to say that Diggs' departure means Allen is now free to throw to the open guy. It's said so much. Julian Edelman said it on Colin Cowherd this week. He actually relayed a story. Did you see this clip?
I did, yeah.
He said, yeah, then you know when Welker left, Tom Brady was forced to recalibrate his game and throw to the open receiver. And I thought, interesting. What did Tom Brady do after Wes Welker left? The answer is he threw it to Julian Edelman 151 times.
See, that's where I had the same thought. I thought, I heard that clip. He never made it to that part. Like, and I don't believe he's even wrong in that. If you look at the first year, this comparison to Brady had Wes Welker, who he threw it to all the time, then Welker left. And Edelman says Brady recalibrated and he just started like not just throwing to everybody.
Yeah.
Throwing to the open guy. But isn't maybe, can't you just reframe that and say Brady was finding out who he trusted? And once he realized, Edelman, that's the guy I trust. Then look at Edelman, 151 targets, 134 targets, 159 targets, 153.
Yeah, you just...
I'm not doubting Edelman's wrong, that there was a time in Brady's career after Welker left where he went, all right, I don't have a number one anymore. Spread the ball around whoever's open. And then he realized Edelman's the one I trust the most, and I'm going to start funneling the ball there.
That's always how it's going to go.
And to me, that maybe is just what Allen's doing right now.
He's finding out who he trusts.
Exactly. And
Keon
eventually
Coleman,
someone will turn into that.
And good for him to go back to Coleman, because those two catches are going to get Coleman throwing the ball a lot more. And, of course, Shakir gets all the trust. He had, what, 29 consecutive throws with a catch?
I mean, when you
got broken up.
When you bet right now, it's going to be... Well, again, is Samuel just not going to be a part of it? Because right now it just looks like it'll be Shakir, Kincaid, and Coleman.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brady also threw like 140 passes to Randy Moss 1 year, and they went undefeated. 803-0550. Anyway. Bills lose to the Ravens. They're fine, but, you know, ooh, we're airing grievances and such.
Packers receiver Christian Watson expected to miss multiple weeks.
Okay.
High ankle sprain.
Amari Cooper, get ready to see him on the trade chatter.
Yo, he stunk yesterday.
He's going to go to the Chiefs. They need help. We'll get a break in. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR. We had an elite fall Sunday. The Bills lost. I mean, it would have been better if they won. But you can't take away from the eliteness of the Sunday. That's all I want to say. Temperature was great.
Yeah, we're getting there on the humidity's down a little bit.
Made some of my smoked chili. I made Old Bay wings.
How'd that go?
Great. We'll dry rub Old Bay and then smoke them. Old Bay works out on wings.
It's fine.
Yeah, I was happy. Hey, let's go around the league in a dash, brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Around the league, Steelers. Justin Fields keeps them in games in a way that no one else used to, so I don't think they're really a contender. They'll probably make the playoffs and be scrappy, but...
He had some bad plays.
He definitely did, but, you know, it's an experience. It's an experience.
Also, is Joe Flacco the best quarterback in the NFL over the age of 38?
Yes.
I think he is.
You know,
he looked good.
You know who the number one group that will want Joe Flacco to stay in for Anthony Richardson is?
Colts fans. Well, not Colts fans.
Fantasy football owners of Pittman, yep. Downs. Like the ball's going to get passed around. Richardson hurt again. Like that's.
How about, by the way, like your Allen again is getting all this credit from the broadcasters. They're like, oh, look, he's sliding. He's really figured it out now. Meanwhile, Anthony Richardson got hurt yesterday by sliding.
Yeah.
hurt his hip on a slide, but that might be right. He's just maybe injury prone.
More on the league stuff. The rookie receiver report. Let's go in order. Harrison, touchdown. Nice day for him. Neighbors, monster. Adunze, not much. He did something last week.
I was going to say, the one rookie receiver that was in my fantasy lineup, one catch for 10 yards. And the rookie receiver that was on my bench, you see what Leggett did yesterday? With Adam Thielen out, opportunity we talked about with Scott Pienowski on Friday, Leggett is going to get an opportunity. 10 targets, 6 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown.
Leggett a touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr., big day and a touchdown.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy, touchdown, 73 yards. Ricky Pearsall still recovering for being shot. Ladd McConkey, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Nice play from him. The touchdown catch was really nice. Coleman, two nice catches.
Coleman was fine, yep.
Who's after Coleman? Anybody else we have to mention here?
I don't know.
Jalen McMillan.
Did Malachi Corley do anything
Jalen
for the Jets?
Polk had a drop, I saw.
He had a sick catch also. Polk actually, I think, had a big day.
He's good.
Jalen Polk on the day. Nope, never mind.
Okay.
Three catches, 30 yards. Yeah, Malachi Corley also didn't do anything because really the Jets didn't do anything.
No. The Jets are, yeah.
And Breece Hall might be bad now, by the way. He is near the bottom of the league in success rate for rushes. He's under 4 yards a carry. And now, like, it was by the second quarter the Jets decided yesterday that Braylon Allen was going to be their running back. Hall was barely playing yesterday. He was playing as, like, the passing down back. And he even had drops after that. So, like, I don't know if that'll hold up, but they are playing the backup a lot.
Jimmy in Buffalo next up as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Jimmy.
I just wanted to say, you know, not a good weekend for my sports teams. I go all the way to New York City to watch Aaron Judge strike out 5 times. And then I come home to watch our Buffalo Bills just seemingly get decimated. But let's be clear. We're only 4 games in, and we all know that the Ravens are going to be flying south come playoff time, so that we got nothing to worry about. My question is, Cole Bishop looked a little confused out there when he got out on the field. You think it's time, dare I say, that we give our dear friend Micah Hyde a call?
I just don't know who that's up to. Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where does it stand? Is it I'll come back for money? Would more money do it? Is he ready, but the Bills aren't ready? I just don't know where it stands.
Do they want to see what Cole Bishop looks like first, if he's going to have to play?
I mean, he played last night.
In limited action, he's done fine. He's got a couple pass breakups. PFF's liked him. Again, he's only played like 20 snaps in the season.
Yeah.
But maybe they want to see what Bishop looks like first. Mike Edwards, interestingly, has he been a healthy scratch 2 games in a row now? Like, people thought he was going to start in the offseason. He's not a part of it at all. He might actually have an injury. I forgot about it. No, I don't think he does. I think he's healthy scratch.
He had an injury the entire offseason.
Yeah.
Hamstring.
And we'll see about Rapp. Man, that hit.
Got concussed trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
He is a risky tackler, I would say. Like, he does go in with his head a lot.
Sam Monson tweeted about this tackle itself and said, you know, rugby has taught a different type of tackle to avoid this exact injury.
Right. This is like
putting your head in front of Derrick Henry's
head
knees.
Down. Right. That's an early 2000s football head that he was trying.
Josh in Lancaster. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning, boys. So, you know, those games like last night, they happen. Looking at the team as a whole, you know, I think the offense is going to be okay. I think safety play is going to be okay. I think the run fits are going to be okay on the D-line. The one spot that worries me in going back to last year is our second level. We don't have Milano coming to help us until late in the year. Bernard, thank goodness he stepped up and turned into the player that he was last year. But that I don't know if they foresaw it, but without him there, without having a backup nickelback, Taron Johnson being out, our second level is what dictates play for our defense, and it's what dictates McDermott's defense going back, you know, 20 years, all the guys that are on his team. And I don't know that we have an answer there. They tried Nick Morrow last night. He looked really slow. Yep. Dorian Williams looks kind of small. It's a tough look, and I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what they're going to do maybe is just get guys back. And Williams, I saw a couple people already like that he maybe wasn't as bad last night. Spectre was really the one that was more lost. Not to say Williams was great. Williams got beat one-on-one by Justice Hill on a wheel route. But I don't know. I feel like if they get Bernard back, that they can be okay. They can be perfectly okay with Bernard and Williams and until Milano were to get back. So to me, like that second level, I feel like it might be a temporary problem. Might be a temporary problem. This week, they're going to get attacked again over the middle. Diggs is the slot guy. They have Dalton Schultz. Like, there, Houston is capable of attacking you over the middle. If the Bills don't have Terrell Bernard, they will do the exact same thing, will they not? Everyone will watch Baltimore and go, oh, yeah, if they don't have their linebackers, you attack the spine of that defense.
Nico Collins went off against Jacksonville. And there's one, like, What will the Bills' approach be? Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it during the week. Is it to take out Nico Collins and have Diggs beat you?
Well, Diggs is all short stuff.
I know.
He's Beasley now.
Isn't that what the Bills' defense is designed to do? We'll take away
their
biggest weapon, and we're going to make them go on 12-play drives, and Diggs is going to catch, like, 15 balls.
I wonder how they'd feel about that.
That's what I mean. Like,
But would you rather...
If it's
you take away Nico Collins, but, hey, we're going to let Diggs have 10 catches for 70 yards against us. I think you might be okay with that.
Yes, for sure. That's probably what they'll do to win.
If you're okay with Diggs having 10 catches against you.
Right. You can't let the emotion get into like,
yeah,
he can't have a good fantasy day, you know?
Right, yes.
And then this is where someone could say like, hey, as one final parting gift, the Bills decide to make Diggs happy and give him all the targets he wants, right? That's the game plan for this one. He can have 15. They're all going to be short. Brandon in Buffalo. Hey, Brandon.
No problem. Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks, Brandon.
Hey, I just wanted to talk on the topic. Basically, the same thing that you was just saying about the next game coming up. I know a lot of people are hurt about what happened last night, but I look at last night as just a punch in the mouth, you know. You fall down and you get back up. But the biggest thing is I think the game against the Texans is the most biggest game in the Jets. I think we have to win those two games. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about is if we lose those two games or lose one of those games and our passing yards are down, what do we do as far as a wide receiver? Go on through the year with the people that we have, or do you think through the trade deadline that we should pick up another wide receiver? Because the everybody eat mentality is good when you're playing against so-called teams that we played against and it worked. But when you're playing against good teams, you actually need somebody to put up some yards, somebody that you can throw to. My question is, just going forward, seeing the team that we have, that we know we get back on defense, the people that we have going out and coming back in, but our offense, that's the offense that we have through the whole year. Are you guys confident with that offense, or how do you feel, or should we maybe pick up some people or trade some people? Thank you.
Names that could be traded. Devontae Adams' name is going to come up. Amari Cooper's name might come up.
Mm-hmm. Do you really think, though,
no,
right now they're going to –
No, I think they're going to ride with what they've got.
I don't know that it's impossible, though. They could get to a point. Nah, it might take injury. It might take injury for them to really, really look at that. Well, unless, I mean, are they just going to keep running Mac Hollins out there? You know? And let that be inefficient? If that continues to go the way it's going, which is he's on the field a lot and not doing much in the pass game, then that's a spot you can upgrade from. It's just weird to me that they wouldn't think they have another player in the building that can upgrade from it.
Curtis Samuel.
Or play Coleman more there. I don't know. Hollins being on the field that much and getting that target share, that should just never, ever, ever happen. I don't think that should ever happen.
I mean, right now, your receiver room doesn't have that many people in it. And for three of them to be MVS, Samuel, and Hollins, these guys are non-factors.
Like, I don't know. The other thing, too, is if you want to talk about bringing someone else in, usually it's a big idea. Like, it's Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper. And that, if you could find me, like, a second, third-tier type guy that could go for a mid-round pick somewhere in the middle of the season, like, maybe they'd do that.
Can I give you one more name that we never talk about?
Who?
Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have two pass-catching tight ends. Dawson Knox, how many snaps he played last night?
How much money are they paying Curtis Samuel and Dawson Knox to be like fifth and sixth on this team's depth chart for receiving?
Right, and to have people say, million? I don't think they want to pay a big money receiver. They should instead of doing that.
Right, Samuel and Knox is what, 22 between the two of them. That could give you
a lot
pretty
of players.
Nice player.
A lot of players.
Yeah, so one target for him last night.
How many catches do you have for the year? How many targets do you have for the year?
Like, I mean, that is ending this year, right?
They restructured. He's on the team for another year for sure. They restructured him.
Just
he's got
three catches on the year.
Three catches. How many snaps he played last night? They have guys on the field that are just not at all part of their offense. And, you know, we sit here and say stuff like everybody eats. Dawson Knox doesn't. MVS doesn't. Curtis Samuel doesn't. Mac Hollins doesn't.
He played 46% of the snaps last night.
So a lot of
58, 53, 52, 46. Those are his percentages.
Going down.
Slightly. Yep.
Interesting. All right. What do we got? Extendo Sports in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Mr. Sal Capaccio coming up as well.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
If you're on hold, stay there. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. Sal always rolls nothing but calls on this show, so he'll get right to you. My final thought for the day. It's actually on part of yesterday. When the Bills play at night, you can get a lot of stuff done during the day. I had stuff to do at home, and I have previously said the words, you know, I'm not much of a red zone guy. I like to watch one game.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Red Zone because I get Red Zone on my phone. As a Bills season ticket holder, you get Red Zone for free.
Yep. How was it?
I guess for the first time in my life, Joe, watching Red Zone, I fully understood, embraced, and had it take over my body the experience of this roller coaster.
Every Sunday, man. That's me.
This was a particularly good witching hour. It was nuts.
It's usually the witching hour that takes over your soul.
Nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.